The Holy Gospel for this Reformation Sunday is recorded in John, the 8th chapter. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We're descendants of Abraham. We've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. "So the days are surely coming, says the Lord," we heard Keith read to us. What days, you might be thinking? Well, we're certainly experiencing some challenging days, aren't we? Scary days. What happened yesterday in Pittsburgh is one of those things that can increase fear among all of us and concern about safety. And things that have been going on around the world, the increase in violence and dangerous situations all over the place. And then on top of that, I think probably because we're experiencing such rapid reactions to such rapid change in our society, cultural changes, social changes, technological changes, and social media changes, heightened awareness that we are, in fact, a global village. All those things can lead to good stuff, but it also is very threatening and gets us off center when we can't find our balance because things are changing so rapidly around us. And certainly those forces of change will feel like they're out of our control, lead to backlashes in fear. Sort of the thing of the desire to go back to an earlier time, you know, when things were less complicated, when they were simpler, when it seemed like we had more answers, as if there really were that time. But that's what we long for. And we lose our spiritual center in all that. And we find ourselves in this backlash of self-protection as well, drawing back into ourselves and protecting our own over against reaching out to those who are struggling around us as well. Well, Jeremiah was a prophet 2,600 years ago in a similar time, one of the most threatening and chaotic times in Jewish history. Political and military forces were rising up in Babylon and threatening the powers that be both politically and spiritually in Jerusalem. And it led to the destruction of the temple and the horror of being sent off into exile again as if they were going back to slavery in Egypt in the year 586. And during the 40 years prior to that, Jeremiah the prophet was out there challenging the people. He could see that people had forgotten again the covenant. They had lost their spiritual center. And he was trying to call them back to God and warning them if they didn't, this is what's going to happen. Well, it happened. But in the meantime, in the midst of that whole situation, once they were shipped off to exile and had lost the temple, had lost the center of their faith, their roots, their institutions, now Jeremiah becomes the prophet of hope and encouragement and says, God's going to do something new. You've lost the institutions. You've lost the temple. You've lost your way of connecting with God. I'm going to give you a new covenant. I'm going to write it so that you don't need institutions. I'm going to write it on your heart, says the Lord. So two turning points in history, 2,600 years ago in Judah and today in our world, where God's people are sometimes feeling jolted and unsettled and losing our center sometimes because of all the new things that are happening around us. Phyllis Tickle is a theologian who wrote a book called The Great Emergence. And in it, she talks about how every 500 years, really, we shouldn't be surprised, but every 500 years through our history as the people of God, some big shift happens. She says it's like God holds a great big rummage sale. and it's a big house cleaning every 500 years or so. So 500 years before the time of Christ, it was the exile into Babylon. And then at the year zero, of course, it was again the Jewish people had their temple. They had their authorities. They had their structure, their institutions, and they were being threatened again, this time by the force of Rome, the Roman Empire. And in the midst of that, the biggest hinge point of history, Jesus' death and resurrection, which is the entire turning point of all history. But then 500 years later, what happens? The Roman Empire, which has accepted Christianity as its official religion, collapses, leaving people of faith without structure again. And in that time, it led to the rise of monastic institutions where people went off into the wilderness to just pray and be alone and get away from the chaos of society to go deeper with God. Not a bad thing, but that was the movement of that day. So we go forward another 500 years to the year 1054, and there's another great, great split between the Eastern and Western churches. So Constantinople and Rome are at odds with each other over various things. And then, of course, 500 years ago, the Reformation in Europe, when Martin Luther posted his 95 history-changing theses on the Wittenberg Castle church door. And here we are, this 501 years later, this Reformation Sunday, in a time of upheaval. God's house cleaning of the world and the church, so to speak, that we can see going on all around us. And perhaps Jeremiah's words can help us to grasp this thing. What does this mean, as Luther would say? To help us recenter, refocus. The time is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. It won't be like the old covenant that I made with those people I brought out of Egypt and freed them from slavery, says the Lord, even though they broke that covenant time and time and time and time and time and time again. He says, this isn't going to be like the old one. This one, says the Lord, I will put my law, my Torah, which is God's love and God's guidance, the Torah, I'm going to put it within them. I'm going to write it on their hearts. And they shall all know me from the least to the greatest, says the Lord. And this is how they're going to know me. I am going to forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. And that's the basis of our covenant, God's action for us. And what a powerful statement of God's sovereignty over all of life, huh? In these times of, in every era of history, that even with our fears and our distractions and our tendency to lose our center in times like this, even when we reject God, God never abandons us. Instead, this new covenant is made in the life, the death, and the resurrection, the person of Jesus. God comes in person through all the upheavals of life and throughout all of history, keeps coming to demonstrate God's love and commitment to us, to get it written in our hearts that Christ died for us. And in so doing, forgives our iniquity and remembers our sin no more. One of the guys at the men's Bible study said it this way. He said, well, I screw up a lot of things in my life, but I can't screw this up because it's God's action. I don't have a thing to say about it. God has done it. And it stands, God's action, once and for all. Or as Martin Luther said it 500 years ago, the center of all that we understand about who we are is in this: Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone. Institutions of the church come and go. Styles of learning, worshiping, and witnessing and serving change with changing times. Things are going just great with us right now. I think in this congregation we're doing a lot of significant, important things. But you know what? The time is going to come for those things to shift. and for old things to die and for new things to be born so that we can express and communicate the gospel out there to the people who need to hear it now. That survey we did this summer was a challenge to us to keep asking, what is it that will help us to communicate the gospel anew in this time of upheaval and chaos in people's lives and in the world? And, of course, the word of God's unconditional love remains the heart of our life as Christians. And what greater comfort can there be than that? You know, what greater hope in this time when you don't know what's true anymore? You know, you listen to the news and you know what's true and what isn't true. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's one truth that you don't have to wonder about. It's this. This absolute truth that you can count on for your life. God in the flesh came in Jesus personally into the world to save wandering, distracted, scared, confused, and uncentered people like you and me. That's a fact. That's the truth. And as we let him into our hearts over and over and over again, we have to do this. It's not just once in our lives that we get saved. We have to keep being saved over and over. We're changed from the inside out by this love of Jesus. So that regardless of what's going on out there in our world, and even in our own lives, we can be centered in this intimate, loving relationship with God, who first loved us. And in that relationship, you know, there's nothing that can really harm you anymore. You are safe in the love of God and Jesus, regardless of what happens. You know, we've been singing this. A mighty fortress is our God, a sword and shield victorious. He breaks the cruel oppressor's rod, wins salvation glorious. The old evil foe has sworn to work his woe with craft, dreadful might. But you know what? When we have Jesus in our hearts, those threatening forces have no power over us. And the more we let Jesus into our hearts, the more we become like him, fearless in the storms of life, courageous in the face of uncertainties and dangers in our world, walking on the stormy seas of life like Jesus did, and even imaginatively in the midst of our walking, finding new ways to share the good news for those who are still caught in the storms and lost and unfocused, giving ourselves freely as Jesus gave himself for us. Yes, Jesus is knocking at the door. Always on the door of our church and on the door of our hearts, waiting for us to let him in. Because in this new covenant, he's not going to force himself on us. But every time we open our hearts to him, every time the church opens its heart to him, we receive time and again this incredibly huge hug from Jesus, the hug of unconditional, forgiving, eternal love. So sing it again with me. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And then you know what? Maybe a little house clearing isn't all that bad a thing.